Say hello to our NHL insider who joins us every Tuesday. It's time to speak with Chris Johnston from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. CJ, how surreal is covering a draft and not being wandering around an arena floor somewhere?
Yeah, I still haven't put my brain around it, to be honest, Pat. I'm sitting in my living room, so that's it's been a long, long time since I was – I don't even know when I last watched a draft that I wasn't at, and certainly – this year is so weird. It makes you feel a little bit more detached, a little more out of the loop in a sense than a typical draft. And I'm sure the teams feel that way. I mean, obviously they can communicate the same way I can communicate with them, but it's a little different when you're face to face and everyone's milling around and you have some of the anticipation you would have, you know, especially at this point where we're what, 20 minutes or so from start of the draft.
How busy is the NHL landscape right now?
Oh, it's busy. I mean, I don't think this is a year where we've overhyped it. You know, I also don't necessarily expect a raft of trades tonight. I mean, you'll probably see some trading in terms of teams moving up and down in the draft order. But, you know, in terms of, you know, player movement and things like that, I think that will still play out here in the next few days more than, you know, from this point on tonight. But, you know, there's a ton going on. You know, we've obviously discussed a lot of the names. It's a lot of high profile players and, you know, there's a lot of teams out there looking to clear cap space and make moves to sign their guys. And so this truly is a unique week in NHL history. Just, you know, having the draft tonight and tomorrow, having the qualifying offer deadline tomorrow, having the buyout window close Thursday, having free agency start Friday. I mean, that's a lot. That typically plays out over a number of weeks rather than 4 days.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. We do have one trade today. Montreal has acquired Josh Anderson. Columbus, on the exchanging end, gets Max Domi and a third-round pick. Your reaction to that swap between Montreal and Columbus?
Well, it's sort of like trading problems, and I don't mean that those guys are problems in and of themselves, but, you know, they're both approaching, you know, where they can be unrestricted free agents. I think both teams, you know, in fact, I know both teams tried to sign each of those players and wasn't really making any headway with them. And so, you know, you're facing the possibility of doing a one-year deal and then walking them right to free agency. I mean, it's getting to the stage on both ends where the Canadians kind of had to make a decision on Domi, and I think the Blue Jackets had to on Anderson. And what they've elected to do is flip them and you know, see if the other side can have a little bit more luck. I think it shows how much value Anderson has that he's certainly not nearly as accomplished of an offensive player, although he does have a 27-goal season, but, you know, coming off a pretty big injury this year, that he was the one who got the third-round pick sweetener put in there was largely due to the fact there was so much interest in him around the league because he does play kind of a Tom Wilson-like style where he's big and he skates well, you know, he isn't afraid to finish checks, and you know, in normal times, you do expect them to put up, at least some decent offensive numbers. So I think it's an interesting deal, and really it's one that, you know, neither team was looking to make initially because, you know, there were extensive contract talks to keep those guys there. But I think it was clear to them there was going to be no deal to be made, and so now they'll try it on the other side.
Chris Johnston's with us, NHL insider. Let's go rapid fire through a few things. What's happening in Tampa right now as they try to clear out some salary for some impending extensions?
Well, basically what Julian Brisebois is doing is he's trying to figure out which pieces he can move. And, you know, there's been discussions with Tyler Johnson and his agent about, you know, waiving a no trade clause and places he might be willing to go. You know, I'm not sure if the discussion has been had with Steven Stamkos specifically, but obviously his name has been out there as someone at least that they'd be willing to explore to trade. And, you know, I think it's important in this situation to understand it's not a normal year. You know, this shouldn't maybe have the same headline potential it would in a typical year because really those conversations are just coming out of the fact that I think Brisebois wants to get a sense of what his players are worth and evaluate what would be the best way in which to extract cap space from his team because that's something he has to do in order to re-sign Mikhail Sergachev, Anthony Cirelli, and Eric Chernak. So, you know, I don't know which player will be the one to go because, you know, I'm not sure that Brisebois himself knows, you know, all of them, you know, the type of guys that would be moved have no moves or no trades. You know, Yanni Gord has a full no move. I think Alex Killorn has a limited no trade and maybe he's someone they could look to move. And so I think they're still in the gathering of information phase in terms of who's interested in what player and whether it might work for those players that have to waive a no trade. And then ultimately they'll make a decision about which move or which set of moves make the most sense moving forward.
Where are we on Oliver Ekman-Larsson and his future in Arizona?
Well, it's coming to a head one way or another, you know, because the player has a huge say here. He's got a full no-move clause, and, you know, as his agent Kevin Epp has said today, you know, they don't want this to go on indefinitely. They'd like to see him move by Friday, you know, by the end of the week. And, you know, nothing's changed in terms of Boston and Vancouver being the two places he'd be willing to waive for. And so I think the onus is on, you know, Bill Armstrong, the new Coyotes GM, to orchestrate a deal to come up with something that can work for him. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens if Friday does happen to come and go, because, you know, it feels a little bit like a soft deadline to me. I mean, I understand, you know, why the player doesn't want this to stretch on for weeks and weeks and weeks. But, you know, if there's a deal to Boston on Saturday, I have a hard time believing he wouldn't suddenly waive his no move to go there. But, you know, I do think that there's some urgency from Ekman-Larsson's camp to see this resolved. And, you know, obviously for the Coyotes, you know, I don't see a scenario where they're bringing him back. I mean, I guess you'd never say never. It's sports and funny things happen. But, you know, I think that they're moving on and they're still just grinding away trying to find a trade that makes sense with one of those two teams.
Taylor Hall also played his last game in a Coyotes jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, his rights are out there on the open market. You know, I don't know that it would be too smart to trade for him, quite honestly, because, you know, he took a risk this year. He played in his contract year. And, you know, I think that just being days away from free agency, obviously he's going to want to see what the market has to say to him. And I think what's interesting in Taylor's case is that he's willing to do shorter term deals potentially. You know, most free agents want as much money and as much term as they can get, naturally, for security reasons. But, you know, given that this is a strange year and you know, I think Taylor really wants to see what teams are interested in and what they might throw at him, you know, he's going to, you know, planning to be on Zoom for, you know, Friday and Saturday probably anyway to talk to teams and see what the proposals are. So, you know, he certainly moved on from the Coyotes. They would trade his rights. But, you know, I don't know if anyone's going to even waste a mid-round pick on that, you know, knowing that he's going to want to, you know, take a sample of the market.
Going rapid fire around the NHL with Chris Johnston, our NHL insider from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. This is our pre-draft show, the NHL draft at the top of the hour. As it stands right now, Canucks and Jacob Markstrom, where do things stand per your knowledge on their negotiations?
Well, it doesn't seem like a deal is going to be done here. And, you know, nothing is final until it's final. There's still time for a change of an offer or a change of heart. But, you know, my sense is that this is a player that's going to head to market. And, you know, it's tough to predict that again because it's a few days out. I mean, we know that Tyler Toffoli, you know, is likely to test the market now. There's not enough money in Vancouver for him. And so maybe that indicates a willingness from the Canucks to bump the offer they have on the table to Markstrom. But, you know, I do believe as of right now, as of everything I've heard, that this is going to be a guy that tests for agency on Friday. And, you know, I think he might even have some appeal potentially to the Flames. I mean, they certainly wouldn't be alone in that. But, you know, at this point, it seems like it's leaning more towards him going to market than re-signing in Vancouver.
Same thing when it comes to a free agent that could be hitting the market on Friday. Alex Pietrangelo and the Blues, where is that right now?
Eerily quiet is how I would put it. And, you know, I still believe that there's a deal for him to be made there potentially. I don't know if, you know, the way this negotiation's played out, it's been kind of an unusual set of circumstances, you know, might, you know, deem this just not doable. But, you know, I do think that's a player that still would kind of like to be in St. Louis if he could be. But obviously the money has to make sense. This is his chance to cash in, you know, to a degree he won't probably be able to do the rest of his life and certainly the rest of his NHL career. And so, you know, this is a business decision as well as a personal one. You know, but I wouldn't rule out a deal being made there. I don't know where things stand. I haven't heard really too much in the last week or so. You know, even since they broke off talks a couple weeks ago, it's just been kind of quiet. And maybe that's an indicator that Pietrangelo is going to market. And certainly if he gets there, there's going to be a couple teams willing to step up and pay him you know, fair market value.
And finally, our colleague, Elliot Friedman, putting out today that the NHL has now targeted January 1st as the start of their season. Again, not firm, but that moves a month from the original target of December 1st. And you know, CJ, you've been suggesting that for the better part of 2 months. That's going to be the way this thing goes. But what do we know? Do we know anything more about when a new season might actually start?
Not really. I think that what today's news was is it's a general acceptance by the parties involved that, you know, December isn't going to be doable. So let's just start focusing on what the best case scenario could be for a January restart. You know, I do know that there's a meeting next week or it's probably a virtual meeting as opposed to an in-person meeting, but there's a talk scheduled for between the league and the PA to get going, I think, a little bit on next season and start, you know, figuring out what that's going to look like. And so, you know, at this point, really all they're doing is shifting the goalposts a little bit. But, you know, I don't think that there's, you know, and there have been conversations, obviously, but I don't think there's been a lot of tangible progress on that point. You know, this is such a huge week on the NHL calendar. I think they're looking to get through this week, which really signifies that the turning of the page from 1920 to 2021. And you know, probably starting next week, we're going to hear a little bit more about where things stand and timelines and things of that nature.
Turn your notifications on at Reporter Chris on Twitter. Get those notifications on because there's going to be a lot of breaking news from him and Elliot here in the next 4 or 5 days. Thank you, CJ. We'll talk again on Thursday. Be well, my friend. Enjoy the draft.
All right. You too, Pat. Take care, pal.